Policymakers in California are struggling to fix that state's dysfunctional juvenile detention system. Court studies released earlier this year show that young offenders are neglected, over-medicated, held in lockdown for hours, and kept in cages for school lessons. It's a world of beatings, rapes, and attempted suicides in a system that's supposed to be dedicated to education and rehabilitation. Californians are now looking outside to see how other states handle juvenile detention. Their first stop this month, Kansas City, for a look at what's come to be known as the Missouri model. NPR's Richard Gonzalez reports.
21-year-old Albert Mesa, an ex-offender from Los Angeles, is riding on a bus through the lush green Missouri plains. He's a short, stocky man with an intense glare and fading scars on his cheek and forehead. Mesa has spent nearly a quarter of his life in juvenile halls and a California Youth Authority prison.
The California Youth Authority is supposed to be there to, like, rehabilitate you and, like, help you out with school and, like, counseling, you know. But a lot of the staff that work there, they only do that because that's their job. And they tell you, too, I'm here, you know what I mean? I'm here for a paycheck. I started realizing that the California Youth Authority wasn't there to help me, you know.
Mesa, now a youth organizer, is on his way to another jail. He's with other ex-offenders and some of the parents of kids currently incarcerated in California. They're funded by a small New York outfit, the Certna Foundation, that supports youth advocacy and grassroots groups. And they're looking for ideas on how to overhaul their state's juvenile justice system. As the bus arrives at the Northwest Regional Youth Center just outside Kansas City, Mesa knows right away he's not in California anymore.
It looks better than most high schools or elementary in Los Angeles.
We're in L.A.
Well, in L.A., this will be like considered community college or something.
Youth center?
Not really, this is private school.
Northwest Regional Youth Center, most secure.
I'm Mark Stewart, Director of Youth Services, and we're glad to have everybody here from California today and from in Kansas.
This rehabbed elementary school features a lobby with rugs, sofas, and a water fountain. It's home to 30 young men convicted of everything from drug sales to murder. But this high-security facility has no iron-barred cells and no armed guards, Director Mark Stewart tells the visitors.
We don't have cells. We have no kids locked up in cells in this state. So if a kid has a problem, has a fight, or comes up to me when I walk in the door and, you know, calls me the nice names, you don't lock them up. You lock them up, they come back out the same way or just matter. So we deal immediately with it. I see in some states it's a badge of honor. You have to get locked in the hole before you're a man. You know, that kind of culture we threw away 20-some-odd years ago, and it really works.
More than 20 years ago, Missouri abolished its 600-inmate training school in favor of smaller residential facilities that emphasize treatment over punishment and keep young offenders close to home so their parents can visit more often. For safety, there's 24-hour video surveillance and a complex system of peer group control. Every youth here is called a client, and every client is part of a team of about 10, supervised by two youth specialists. Team members eat, sleep, bathe, and study together. And when someone has a problem, it's everybody's problem, explained 16-year-old Jerry. He says most issues are resolved when someone, anyone, calls for a listen up.
Yeah, it's like group listen up. You know what I'm saying? Group listen up. We all got to listen up. Can't be no talking, nothing. You got to put down everything, come to the listen up.
At a listen up, a client may need to unload on another team member or reveal some disturbing news from home. It could last 10 minutes or 5 hours. One Californian asks if a guy can fake it, just go through the motions and avoid self-awareness. No way, says 16-year-old Nate.
Maybe somebody knows that out there it's too hard to make it. You know, they just rather stay here and just, like, fake the funk.
Yeah, you can't fake the funk for long. You know what I'm saying? It's going to get hot. You know what I'm saying? You're going to come out. Your real true color is going to come out some form of another. But, you know, it's all on you. It's all on you.
When violence does flare up, it's the team members, led by staff, who restrain their peers, four hands on each limb until the client calms down. Director Mark Stewart says fights are rare, and group restraint has never led to an injury, lawsuit, or complaint. So Missouri has no need for an expensive medical staff.
And we really stress the whole part nowadays in terms of going away from just behavioral compliance to internalized changes in these kids. And we really become surrogate parents and families for these kids in terms of helping teach them some of the things that we've taught our own kids and that some of these kids have missed out on.
What many of the Missouri clients may have missed out on at home, they find here. Clean, spacious dorms equipped like suburban bedrooms, where the walls are decorated with motivational slogans such as, "We need to change in order to survive, but we can't survive if we don't change." The contrast between this Missouri facility and California system leaves Albert Mesa and his cohorts shaking their heads as they wander through the rooms.
This is what California needs right here. If I would have had a place like this when I was younger, I don't know what I would have done with myself. I'd probably been a doctor already or something. An architect.
I'm speechless, really, I'm speechless.
Yeah, I wasn't.
In another corner of the dorm, 50-year-old Alan Feaster, who runs a shoeshine stand in San Francisco, is struggling for words. Feaster's 18-year-old son, Durrell, was a ward in a California Youth Authority prison. In January, Durrell and his cellmate hanged themselves. They had been locked up for 23 hours a day for 3 months.
It's too much. It's really too much. I mean, if my child had this opportunity, he'd be alive today. I know he'd be alive today. If he had all of this, he'd be alive today.
Feaster carries a folder stuffed with tattered newspaper clippings reporting his son's death. He shows them to the Missouri clients.
I cannot bring my child back, but there's young men like yourself. You have a chance to live. So you guys, you know, what I'm seeing here is helping me, encouraging me to help others. It hurts me to see this, but it also strengthens me at the same time. Because I know there is places where I can see a young man that he could live. And you guys can live. So I'm glad to be here.
On the two-day trip, the California delegation visits four facilities and also meets with judges, prosecutors, and legislators for advice on how to build the political pressure for reform. At one luncheon, Suzanne Kissick, an attorney for Missouri's juvenile office, says they need to convince California judges and prosecutors that the Missouri model works.
The key is to convince them through real statistics, because they don't want to hear just, you know, oh, it's a positive experience. They want to reduce crime, and whether you call that adult or juvenile crime, the way to reduce it is to make this person a productive citizen.
But that may be a tough message to sell in California, where the recidivism rate is nearly 90% compared to 30% in Missouri. Some prison experts are skeptical about whether the Missouri model can be exported. California is more diverse, they say. It has different sentencing laws, and its gangs are more entrenched. But Director Mark Stewart says he's heard all that before.
Maryland said that, Georgia said that, Mississippi said that, New Jersey said that. And if you want to make up excuses, you make excuses. Kids are kids, and kids respond to these kind of programs.
The trip is over, and these parents are back on the bus, buzzing about what they've seen and what they intend to do. Laura Talkington of Fresno, whose 19-year-old son is serving a 6-year sentence in the California Youth Authority, says Missouri gives her hope that there's another way besides the CYA.
This has given us all a mental picture. Every time we start feeling like we're losing the battle, now I know I can just mentally remember Missouri. And that was just like the best charge you could get, was to see what could really happen. So now when you're feeling discouraged, all you got to do is think of Missouri.
Back in California, lawmakers are already talking about changes and how to fund them. The parents and ex-offenders met after the trip with key legislators and the head of the CYA to deliver a simple message. The Show Me State has much to show California about changing the lives of young offenders. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News.